Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor, a housewife who has not figured it out. Thank you so much for being a part of the program. Today is episode 115. Big deal. Nice milestone. And I'm excited because Father Nathan Cromley is back on the program. We're going to talk about teens, how to motivate teens physically, spiritually, move them when it comes to going to church and being excited about it. Is that possible? So he's going to inspire us. He's got another Padre in Your Pocket coming up this show. Also, a book recommendation, speaking of teens, for specifically boys, but really, I would say even from the ages of 10 on up, but we'll get into that. It's a book for teens written by a teen, and that's coming up in the favorite things. Also, we're going to go for a walk, which I know sounds a little bit weird, but what I mean by that is like embarking on a little sacred activity that's good for our heart, good for our spiritual muscles, and helps us stop and breathe the fresh air of God's grace. Because especially on this program, the last few episodes, we've had some really heavy topics of conversation. We talked about everything from the dangers of football to pornography to civil rights and some of the racial tension in our country. And in our own nation in the last week, we've had some really heavy headlines, more tragedies. And whenever that happens, it's time for all of us, I think, for a wake-up call. And I use the word wake-up call because I actually had a literal experience that reminded me of this recently when I was out of town, staying at a hotel. I called down to the front desk to actually set a wake-up call, which I don't have a landline phone that we use anymore in our house. So I don't hear that kind of ringing in my ear very much anymore. And when the time came and that phone rang and woke me up in the morning, it was like my entire nervous system was shocked, and it did get my heart racing. It did wake me up and do the trick. So in some ways, we need to help cooperate with that, and we're going to do that. And to get out of any stupor that we might be in, whether we are preoccupied with our smartphone or devices, we'll talk about that, or in a state of unknown. So all of that is going to be addressed with lessons from the saints, three things necessary for a soul to have constant union with God. And I can't wait to get into that. Interior silence is the main goal for outer silence. And once again, a theme that has been common lately on the podcast, why silence is important. It's something monasteries know throughout the world and back through time. So we're going to tap into a little of that time-tested wisdom as well. So if you join me, let's jump in as we always do and pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Immutable God, you are the voice, the one who speaks in all things, in the birds of the sky, in the creatures of the sea, in the breeze, in the sunrise. Lord, help us listen to your voice and not be distracted by things that are not of you. Help us to entrust our children, our bosses, our stresses, the things we can and cannot see, to your divine hand. Give us patience, Heavenly Father, joy, endurance, discernment. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. A big thank you for all of your feedback from our last show, Linda Isaiah, my special guest, episode 114. And I got quite an eyeful and an earful, for that matter, input, emails on both sides of this. We did talk about, the name of the show is Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. So we talked about, in a very natural, authentic, real way, she as my African-American friend, me as her white buddy, some of the differences in our lives and in our experiences. And I wanted to share one in particular with you. Molly took the time to write. She said, Brooke, thanks to you and Linda for the well-timed episode. I heard the coverage of the Vegas shooting and then heard you ladies and was reminded that we are one nation under God. Amen. And that's the takeaway. I just thank you so much, Molly, because I did embark on some very lengthy back and forth conversations, messages from all different areas of the country. And it was a little bit overwhelming for me, but I'm grateful. And I think at the end of the week, having processed and digested this story, one of the things that I took away with is something I wanted to share with you, but it's from my friend. He just doesn't know it, but he's my
my buddy Jean Vanier. I've talked about him a lot over the last few months, but in his book, Fully Human, I was rereading it and wanted to share a portion with you. He says, to be free is to know who we are with all that is beautiful, all the brokenness in us, to be anchored in a vision and a truth, but also to be open to others. And so to change. Freedom lies in discovering that the truth is not a set fixed of certitudes that I know, but a mystery that we enter into one step at a time. It is a process of going deeper and deeper into an unfathomable reality. In this journey of integrating our experience and our values of what we might learn as we listen to others, there may be periods of anguish. We need to find links between the old and the new, links that will permit the integration of growth as we grow into the heart of Christ. I think this applies in so many ways, as there are so many numerous discussions right now when you go to Facebook or any online platform. And so often you just think, we're not going to change our viewpoints based on one person's comment and an interchange that we might have, an exchange of opinions. But that's what I like about this quote, to find links between us and to work on that and pray for God's grace in the meantime. So just wanted to share. Thank you again to Jean Vanier, or as my friend Jen calls him, Jean Valjean.
Gave me a number and they murdered Valjean.
Yeah, no, that's the wrong one. That's the lame man, Jean Valjean. But still French nonetheless, Jean Vanier. And again, that book is called Fully Human, which I highly recommend.
St. Therese with her roses, God's words when it's written, bright kids in church shirts and sunny beach sitting. Big runs on pavement and stretching out hamstrings. These are a few of my favorite things.
So this is a new one. Something I've never done is recommend a book for teenagers by a teenager. I don't know that there are that many out there, but I'm really excited about this. It's written by author Liam Martin. So it's called The Scarlet Cross. And what's unique about this book, again, written by a 14-year-old boy. Now, he's a homeschooler, so I'm not surprised about that. But he loves fencing and he loves history. And so through those two loves, he combined both to create a novel. And I was actually contacted by his mom about the book. And then I heard from somebody else about it. So I ordered it. In full disclosure, we haven't read it yet, but I wanted to share with you what she told me. She said, Brooke, this book is historical fiction. We have received incredible feedback from kids who ordinarily don't like to read, who stayed up all night reading it. Kids now who want to learn more about history. Kids who are begging for a second book. It's my understanding this is the first in what will be a three-part series, and it sounds like he's got great momentum. But she also says adults have told me they've learned so much, and it's been amazing to see the book's effect on people. She must be the proudest mom, and I can't wait to read it. I really want to support. So I want to give you the premise, although knowing that it's about history and fencing, we can kind of guess. So this is the description of the book that was sent to me. In 12th century Europe, which was divided by feudal warfare and threatened by the might of Islam in the East and the West, danger was always around the corner and fear loomed everywhere. Only by rooting himself in courage and his faith can Carl survive. This is a tale of bravery and fear, hope and despair, joy and sadness, victory and defeat. What boy would not love that? Oh my goodness. I see, it's kind of like the Colonel Sanders KFC recipe, the secret recipe, but applied to boys' fiction, because it's got all those elements, that secret sauce that they all love. And I love, for that matter. But it says, okay, above all is a tale of heroism created not only to remind the reader of the past, but to inspire them to greatness. Although this book is geared for 10 to 16 age group, adults are enjoying and learning from it as well. The book is available on Amazon. Okay, there you go. So I'll let you know after we receive it and read it. Would also love to know too, if you end up ordering it and what you think. But again, the book is called The Scarlet Cross and the author is Liam Martin. Way to go, Liam. That's so fantastic.
It's Brooks House. It's Brooks House.
All right, so come on in. I wish I could say right now that we have one boy that is practicing calligraphy, another one that's doing chess, another one that's learning Morse code, another one that's practicing his Chinese. But that actually they're outside. They're doing a bonfire and having a good time and doing their camping in the hammock. But that's the temptation for me is to compare. You hear an amazing story like Liam. He is on fire with his faith. He is engaged in education, in history and learning. And that is inspiring. And how God has endowed him with those gifts, he is lighting a fire in other boys by the grace of God and girls and adults for that matter too, it sounds like. So that's where I wanted to go because I was asking my son just in a general conversation. And so I asked him to finish the sentence. I said, what would you say to this? Teenagers and church go together like what? And he said, orange juice and toothpaste. And I wasn't really expecting that. I thought he was going to say socks and shoes or coffee and cream or something. But I get it. And so that's what we're going to talk about. Because it's a topic that comes up a lot, at least for me and the group of moms that I'm with, is igniting the fire of faith in our young people. And of course, the enemy wants to get in there. The younger, the better, because that's when their souls are most impressionable. And especially in the culture that we're in, it's tough. Father Nathan, as always, back in fine form, is going to share some advice with a new Padre in your pocket. Take a listen. Padre.
Hi, everybody. This is Father Nathan with another Padre in your pocket. Great questions coming to us from our listeners. How is it that we can prepare a teenager to go to Mass? Now, you could also ask how you can get water to run uphill. I mean, it would be a similar dilemma. It can seem impossible sometimes. Teenagers will just do exactly the opposite. Getting them to sit still in a Mass when they're obviously not enjoying it, it can just be one of the biggest crises that we even have in our own hearts. Because we know how much we love the Lord and we want him to be given to the teenager, but how do we get them ready? Here's a couple tips. Here's where I've seen it work and work well. Teenagers love having friends. Does their parish, your parish, have a youth group or a youth mass or activities that engage the young people? If they don't, maybe consider taking your teen to the special parish that does. And I really mean to not hold back about that. Your teen's faith is really important. And if they can get involved in a parish that has a life teen program or something similar to it, a teen mass, they'll find other young people like themselves. Don't be too put off. Some people get upset saying those teen masses are just silly or this or that. But I'd encourage you not to be too put off by it. Because in fact, even if it might seem silly to you, the point is get your teen involved in the faith. So look for a parish that has a teen program, first thing. Second thing, if that doesn't work, you need to try to get a witness into their life somehow to allow them to see how the faith life that you want them to engage in and that they have in their heart actually touches what's going on inside of them. What I mean by that is a camp, a program, a priest that you could have over for dinner, a mission trip, things that break through the doldrum of a typical Catholic world and allow them to see the excitement of faith. You need to expose them to these things. So I wanted you to consider maybe a trip this summer to a Catholic youth camp. Of course, I run Eagle Eye Ministries at eagleeyeministries.org for that very reason. Eagle Eye Ministry retreats inflame the fire of faith in the heart of the teenager. But there's a million others, and they're really good ones. For example, you can think of the Life Teen Camps down in Georgia. There's another Catholic teen camp in North Carolina near Charlotte. There's a great program in Ohio called Catholic Youth Summer Camp. I'd encourage you there. If you can get him to experience or her to experience the faith alive, their parish life will make a lot more sense to them. But the most important thing for teens is that they see the reason why. And so here, even examine your own language and how you present the Mass to them. And maybe it's time for us to revamp the old, it's just why, because Mom said so. And start to actually look into it yourself so that you can see the value. Go to some websites that break that down for you and then be able to communicate that to the teen in a fresh way. There's some tips. I'd encourage your questions. And Brooke will pass them on to me and we'll do more episodes about this. because I know a lot of you struggle with that. My prayers are with you. God bless.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Father Nathan. So, okay. Number one, connection. Look for a place that offers a program that speaks to them. Help them make friends there. Number two, I love that idea about the special trip or retreat with a plug for Eagle Eye, which I thought was great, but a lot of really good ideas of places actually customized, custom made to cater to that age group. And then number three, see the reason why and examine how we present the faith to them. And there are so many great resources out there too. And so that's what I like, even on our own time, whether it's Vimeo or YouTube, doing searches. And if there's a topic that you want to talk about, whether it's scrupulosity or pornography or being a good friend or self-confidence, that we can find that online. And if that's how they learn best, just sit down and watch a 10-minute YouTube video of Father Mike Schmitz or Robert Barron or one of those guys that are so amazing. That is the blessing of the new evangelization. So thank you again so much, Father Nathan.
Join the show. Share your feedback on Voxer. Find Brooke at BrookeTaylor1 or shoot us an email at feedback@goodthingsradio.com and be part of the conversation.
Oh boy. So I ran across a headline. It was a news headline this week that broke my heart. I'm going to read the headline to you. It says this: Japanese woman dies from overwork after logging 159 hours of overtime in a month. I don't even know how you can do that. But as I was looking back, this is 7 days a week, hadn't taken a day off in months. And she died at the age of 31. And I know with it being Asia that it's not tremendously surprising. They have an epidemic of being overworked in their culture. Their labor standards are just notorious for being. That's the suicide level is so high because of that. It's a direct correlation. But what I thought was really interesting as I read the article is that she died. It was determined heart failure, but the medical examiner actually used the word karoshi, which is death from overwork. That's what that means. We know that back-breaking, hard work, long hours is nothing new since the fall in the garden, but the poverty of the soul is so great. And so I just think, here we go with the wake-up call. And if you've heard me do talks, you know I say this all the time. There is an actual condition. It's called the hurried woman syndrome. And you can be diagnosed with this. There's something like 19 million women a year that get this. It comes with bloating. The symptoms are headaches, fatigue, weight gain, all that fun stuff. And you don't have to be a career woman to suffer from this. Even if you're a stay-home mom, a caregiver, whatever the case might be, it is essential to, with the seconds that we have, enter into the sacredness wherever we are, which I want to share a way to do that. That's what I wanted to talk about, a writing that I ran across. It's a letter, which I think is really neat as we enter into this letter, because episode 113 was all about friendships, talking to Michelle Fainley, Emily Jaminet, their book, The Friendship Project. And this, I see, is what they mean. So this is a letter that was written, it was almost 100 years ago. It was in 1918, from St. Teresa of the Andes, written to her friend, Mother Angelica Teresa. And this is what she wrote to her. She says, "Whenever I go out on the street or to the theater or to take a walk, I tell our Lord, my Jesus, although perhaps no one here is thinking about you, but here is a heart that belongs completely to you. I adore you. I love you. Make me yours always. In this way, I keep myself recollected and removed from worldly things. And every time we must go out, we must promise to remain united to our Lord in the cells of our souls." So I actually took that portion of the letter, emailed it to myself so I can print it out, put it on my prayer wall in my closet, because that's how my heart feels. But so often my mind wanders and I get sidetracked, and I know why. I don't have to figure out why. I know why. It's because my little glowing device is always calling to me, my smartphone that is always perpetually an extra appendage on my hand. And it leads me actually to another article that I wanted to share with you. I'm just going to share bits and pieces, but my husband sent it to me on Friday. And I think it's important, and it does tie in. I also posted it on Facebook, but the headline says our minds can be hijacked. The tech insiders who fear a smartphone dystopia. Justin Rosenstein, who is a huge Silicon Valley superstar, but that he realized, and I know this isn't uncommon, that this is a huge problem. He banned himself from Snapchat. He compares that to heroin. He imposed limits on his use of Facebook, but even that wasn't enough. So he said then back in August, he took radical steps to restrict his use of social media and all addictive technologies. That's the thing. The device we use might be the carrier of it, but all these individual apps and different platforms in and of themselves are addictive. And that's what research says. There's data that shows we swipe or tap our phone on average of 2,617 times a day. That's crazy. And that there's growing concern as well as addicting users. I'm reading this now. Technology is contributing towards so-called continual partial attention. So which in other words, I think is mass ADD or ADHD, really. And if you already are predisposed to that anyway, it just makes it even worse. It says severely limiting people's ability to focus, possibly lowering IQ. One recent study showed the mere presence of smartphones damages cognitive capacity, even when the device is turned off. Everyone is distracted all of the time. And then the moment, because we've heard all this, we've talked about it before, we know it. But then the thing that really jumped out at me is he goes on to say, one reason I think it is particularly important for us to talk about this now is that we may be the last generation that can remember life before. Wow. That is sad. And when you talk about addiction, this smartphone entity has all of the trademark features. There are cravings. If we're away from it too much, there are compulsions. And then there's a fix that we get if we get something from it. So it, for me, was one of those moments where I just had it and thought, if I could turn back time, I'm not going to sing the Cher song, but if I could turn back time, I would. And wish that I could put it away and not even have it, but we can't. And for me, someone who runs a ministry and I've got to respond to people if I need to turn in voice work within 24 hours, it is such a tough thing. But I put it in the safe. I put it away. I didn't have it for 24 hours. And that alone gave me a stillness in my brain, which is pretty pathetic, but it's true. I could feel there was a calm that I haven't had in a while by just saying I'm not dealing with it for 24 hours, especially on the weekend. I feel this is good because my family was with me. I knew I wasn't going to get a call from school. I knew my husband was there. But that brings us back again then to this idea of making our hearts a cell for our Lord in removing ourselves from worldly things. So how do we do that? There's a great article that I ran across. It's from St. Alphonsus Liguori, and it's called 12 Steps to Holiness. And I love this. He says, to preserve recollection of spirit or the constant union of the soul with God, three things are necessary. So, and just a teaser here, these are not going to surprise you. There's nothing new about this. It's tried and true. So number one is solitude. Number two, silence. And number three, the recollection of the presence of God, resting in God by keeping the thought of his presence ever before you. So where do we find God? Pulling more quotes here, St. Teresa replies, tear your heart away from everything else. So that's why I wanted to go back to the source and name it. For me, naming the issue, it's that darn smartphone in my life. She said, then seek God and you will surely find him. If a crystal vase is filled with earth, the rays of the sun cannot penetrate it. The light of God cannot illumine a heart that is full of attachments for the joys, the pleasures, and the honors of this world. I love the Rich Mullins song, Told Me Jesus, but one of the lyrics that he says in there is, I'd rather fight you for something I don't really want than to take what you give that I need. There have been so many times in my life where I think about that lyric, and even something at first glance as trivial as, am I going to spend time praying my rosary or am I going to get lost watching these YouTube videos? That does apply. He wants to give us grace. I was so blessed to visit a neighboring church over the weekend, and in their bulletin, they had this beautiful letter from a seminarian, and he was talking about when we read scripture, we don't consume scripture. Scripture consumes us. It is God's way of enfolding us into him. Every day, this is the choice that I make with with my time and with my day. So I thought that was really awesome. The St. Teresa quote goes on to say, "When thou shalt pray, says our Lord, enter into thy chamber, and having shut the door, pray to thy Father in secret." In other words, to be united to God in prayer, man must enter into his own heart, which St. Augustine says is the chamber mentioned by our Lord. Isn't that awesome? So going into our inner room, it's actually going into the heart, our own hearts, to meet him there and to shut out all the attachments, all the inclinations. She says, it is not to be supposed that solitude and retirement are synonymous with idleness. So here is back to the busyness. If you can't, if you're in your car all the time, it's okay, because the time isn't lost if we use it in praying, reading, doing something that's going to spiritually help us grow. And then finally, silence. Silence, silence, silence. I still have yet to read The Power of Silence by Cardinal Robert Sarah, which is so inexcusable because I had it on my pre-order last year and still haven't read it. But this is definitely by far one of the keystones to this whole formula. St. Dorothea says, if you open the doors of a furnace, the heat will escape. That then, having the correlation, is guard against too much talking, for it puts flight to devout thoughts and recollection of God. And I'd have to agree. In the interview we had with Britt Fisk on the program, we talked about that book, The Power of Silence, and how Cardinal Robert Sarah says the whole world seems to be in a state of constant monologue, yet saying nothing. So just some good reminders for myself, I think, more than anything, but really, really good takeaways. Those three things as we grow in holiness: solitude, silence, and recollection. Three things necessary for constant union for our soul with the soul of our Father. Okay, friends, wow, covered a lot. I didn't even get to everything that I wanted to talk about on today's program, because as we get closer to Halloween, I want to definitely, hopefully in the next episode, cover that. Do you observe, celebrate Halloween? If so, how? I think for so many years working at a contemporary Christian radio station that is predominantly evangelical, predominantly Protestant, this was a huge flashpoint, because almost none of the other traditions even observe Halloween, or it might be a trunk or treat, a very tame way of observing. Because of all the things, it is one of the highest days of occultism. Satanists do all sorts of black magic, black masses, every atrocity that I can't even conceive of. And in a lot of ways, that's unleashed into our culture. I am not a fan. And probably every year that this podcast has gone through a season of Halloween, we've talked about this. It always has a check in my spirit. I always struggle to celebrate it well with my family. We talk about it every year, and we do our best to honor the Feast of All Saints and All Souls in a way that is reverent and not engaging with the pagan aspect. So I've had my kids dress up as saints. They do that. And if they do dress up at school or for the neighborhood party, it's got to be within a certain standard, something tasteful, something that doesn't glorify death. I just would love to know your thoughts. What do you do? I'm super excited. I'll just mention this really quick. And I don't even know if I shared this. At our school, we formed what's called the Catholic Identity Committee. In going to a Catholic school, sometimes, believe it or not, that part can actually get lost. So we're doing things to infuse more of that identity, an idea that was actually brought to me by Michelle Fainley. And they're going on, I think, year three or year four. But one of the ideas was for the Feast of All Souls and All Saints. There's once a week, a weekly mass. Ours is going to be November 1st, which is the Feast of All Saints. And then the next day is All Souls Day. So what we're going to do is bring in poster boards, like the thicker foam boards, have the students bring in a photograph of a loved one that is now deceased. And together, each class will put together this collage. And then during mass, on November 1st, each class will process in with their foam boards, and in the altar area, place those foam boards there as we honor the souls of the faithful departed. And that is what it's about. It's not about a creepy clown. It's not about spider webs and all of that. And so in a little way, it's our hope to be able to hit that home and to get back to the foundation, that the souls of the just are in the hand of God, and that we are dust, and that we were dust, and to dust we shall return. There's such a richness there. So we'll unpack it more in the next episode. Would love, love, love your feedback on anything
Whether you order the book from Liam Martin, which I'm super excited to check out, whether you have any tidbits from what Father Nathan said, or your own faith practices, have you detached yourself from earthly things and started a new practice of prayer or study time? You can shoot us an email at feedback@goodthingsradio.com. Also, of course, on Voxer, Brooke Taylor in the number one. Special thank you to our Podbean patrons, good friends of the show, to all of our 19 patrons. You are the reason this program continues. Thank you for your loyalty, your support. If you would like to become a GTR good friend, all you need to do is click on the Become a Patron in the show notes. No amount is too small. $5 a month, $25 a month. We use those funds then to produce the program for ministry expenses. And if you're unable to become a patron, that's okay too. Simply even sharing this show, inviting others to listen as well, that is a big help. That's a huge boost forward. And thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, for his dynamic skills and quick work. He is a producer extraordinaire. And for any needs you might have, visit him today at cumminghomestudio.com. Coming up on the next show, a big excitement I want to share with you, a big guest on the program, very familiar to many of you, I'm sure, on the next episode. Thank you so much, friends. Have a wonderful week. Until next time, God bless you.